Probably is. little guidance from Dad, I think, would be real good. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Personally, I'm really excited to be here. I came through Chicago, and I was really glad to get across the Ohio line, I can tell you that. Luke chapter 15, it's called, I won't do that again. Luke chapter 15, it was cheaper, but not worth it. flying into O'Hare on a Friday. Luke chapter 15, verse 3. Jesus told him a parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep, lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. So I tell you, in the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And since, you know, the ladies left, I'm not going to read the next parable. couldn't relate to that one. So we'll just stick with the lost sheep. Now, this weekend, among other things, is about joy. And I think if you went out and you beat on a lot of doors, and I've actually done this, I said, I'm just taking a little survey. What do you, if I was to ask you one thing, what do you guys want? And, stand there with my notepad. Almost always happiness. Now, sometimes it's more money. See, the idea being that more money is going to bring more happiness. See, but it kind of boils back to that. Now, happiness, chasing happiness is like chasing the rainbow. See, you just don't ever quite get there. So happiness and joy are going to be found somewhere else. So let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we're really grateful to be here this morning. We appreciate so much the blessings that you've given us. We appreciate the fact that you reached out to us individually. Everybody in this room has been contacted through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for that, we really are eternally grateful. We just pray that you be with this particular time this morning, that we can be encouraged, that we can be motivated in a real way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the test of any message is whether somebody does something. You know, I think it was Cicero. Cicero was a great orator. You know, he was an outstanding senator in Rome. And, had some of the great quotes that you can still use today. But somebody asked him one time, he said, what's the difference between you and Julius Caesar? And Cicero is reported to have said, I speak and people listen. Caesar speaks and people march. And so what you want, see, is not people who listen, but what you want is you want people who march. And if we want joy, see, not joy is only going to come as a byproduct. And Jesus told us right here, hey, are we citizens of heaven? Is our citizenship in heaven? Are we residents of the kingdom or the reign of heaven? Yeah. Have we been taken out of this world and transferred into another realm? Yes, is the answer to all those questions. So the question is that what's going to create joy for us who already dwell in heaven? See? Makes sense, right? So, does joy come from more things? Where I used to jog is interesting because it was a vacant lot. Okay. And then one day, you know, the builders show up. Pretty nice house. I'd say maybe 3,000 square foot on, you know, footprint, you know, and a couple stories. And a nice garage, you know. And then one day, four new four-wheelers showed up. Then an outdoor hot tub. Okay. And then, over a period of time, a sauna. And then four snowmobiles. Because you can only four-wheel, you know, so much, you know. And then a swimming pool. And then horses. Horses are gone now, by the way. require work. You know, but you know what's going on there? Trying to find happiness. And that sauna, did that? Yeah, it didn't do it. Hot tub, didn't do it. Four-wheelers, didn't do it. You know, horses, definitely didn't do it. I mean, where are you going to find joy? Well, for us who are residents of heaven, we're going to find joy where what Jesus is talking about is going to be over one sinner who repents. You have to do with leaving the 99 safe sheep and going out for the unsafe sheep. Now, you have to think how you're going to interpret that. Okay. Now, so, you know, I'm on a mission with this message. And it simply boils down to getting through the door. Yours. See, the hardest door to get through is yours. See? And so, man, we got to get out of the door. We got to go after those lost sheep. See, we got to be on a mission, a search and rescue mission. See, and we're going to have to be intense about it. Now, Jesus talked about discerning the signs of the times. You know, he said, you know, when red sky in the morning, sailors take warning, I think is what he said, right? Something like that. Well, the sky is red in the morning, okay? I mean, when I was in high school, I tried to save money to go to college. And so I stacked hay for the neighbors for $8 a day. Which, you know, that'd be $80 a day today. You know, gas used to cost 32 cents a gallon. See, I mean, everything's gone up. In some of us, very little short lifetime, everything is at least 10 times more expensive, okay? You know, I bought my first new car for $3,000, you know, Chevy Nova. And that same car, probably $35,000, $40,000. I mean, brethren, you know, you need to process here a little bit what's going on. You need some kind of markers or something. Talk to Larry Garrett, you know, he'll give you a good picture as to, you know, how things have changed. And, you know, the communists call it patient gradualism. You know, others call it boiling the frogs. But things are changing. And a lot of us have noticed they're starting to change pretty fast. So we need to pay attention to the signs of the times. And it's called get the harvest in. When I was a kid, stacking hay, the Tobacco Rut Mountains were about 15 miles to the west. And about 5,000 to 6,000 foot relief. And the thunderstorms would build up over those. But by the time you notice that the thunderstorm, because the thunderstorm is moving, what, 40, 50 miles an hour maybe, 60? How long do you think that takes to travel 15 miles? So they see those thunderstorms piling up there and then they just start bringing that hay in. You know, normally when you're working, you know, we had a elevator, you know, they were just throwing the, you know, 50-pound bales on that, and, you know, the kid up on the stack, you know, he gets whatever comes and how it comes. See, that's his job. And so normally what they do is they do a closer load and then a far load. A close load and a far load, you know, kind of give the guy on the stack a little bit of break. You know, storm clouds start building up. It's every bale of hay. They start the closest, they and they're getting every bale in there as fast as they possibly could. See, before that rain hits. Of course, it's always interesting because, say, you're up 12 tiers. Now, guess what the highest thing on the landscape is? That metal hail here. Now, guess what comes first, the lightning or the rain? Lightning, right? So the hay is going to keep coming in until the rain hits. So you got to understand that the kid on the stack is expendable. See, that you just, you just have to know that. So the important thing is get the hay in, right? And that's the picture here. See, the Apostle Paul said, you know what? The time has been shortened. See, those of us that are married should be as if we aren't married, right? Can you say that? Those who buy as though we did not possess, right? Did he say that? Because the fact that if the time was short then, I guarantee it's shorter now. The Apostle Paul said then, our salvation, that is the resurrection of our bodies, is one day nearer than when we first believed, right? Then. Okay. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 here. Ephesians 5. In other words, I don't want to be an alarmist unless the Scripture is an alarmist. Okay? Ephesians 5:15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. What's this line doing in there? Because the days are evil? Holy Spirit messed up on that, I think. Right? See? Don't be foolish then, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, Dad doesn't want to raise any foolish kids. See, parental guidance is in motion here. And the idea is what? Make the most of your time. This ain't make good use of your time, or lackadaisical use of your time, or poor use of your time. Make the most. Redeeming the time. Make the most is the way that's translated. Because that is what is necessary. So, how then are we going to get into the harvest? What's got to go on here in order for us to do that? Now, you know, I've been working for 40 plus years on myself and on everybody that, you know, I get the opportunity to work on personal evangelism, you know, going and making disciples and immersing those disciples and continuing to teach them. Through a connection Steve Doty made, a guy named Aaron Knotts in New Zealand, I just got back from spending the week. And one of my missions there, help these guys do personal evangelism. Get into the homes. Get through their doors. Get into the doors of the other people. See, everybody wants to do something called the easy way. Easy way is put up something of high visibility. You know, and, you know, high visibility, get some walking traffic. You know, you walk through the door of Walmart, the advertising already worked. See, you've already been sold. See, before you walk through the door. It's just a matter of what you've been sold. But you've been sold before you walk through the door. See, that's how that works. Now, you know, Cole Road here kind of looks to me like Church Row. I mean, even got the Masons. I mean, you know, it's, and everybody else. I mean, well, you don't think the Masons are a church a lot of time? You know, church substitute? You don't think they have their own religion? The guys that really know what they're doing? But, you know, the whole thing is walk into our building, walk into our building, walk into our building, right? Every single one of them. You know, I don't know, what was it, the Great Harvest Bread Church down there? You know, they got their big, huge activity center. Is that what it is? Oh, I thought it was the Great Harvest Bread. Just don't know where that came from. Walking in traffic, see, is what they're after. Now, anybody who knows anything about business knows, you know, we'll go back to the days of Tupperware. You know, I mean, I didn't really want to bring the ladies in, but I couldn't think of a better example. Okay, why don't they put Tupperware stuff on the shelves of Walmart? Well, it was a high-quality item, and so the price on it would have been too high to put on the shelf. See, because when you have a high-quality item, you know, what goes on the shelf on the big box store, it has to go in big boxes. That's why they call big box stores. And they have to be in big boxes where the price for quantity, you know, looks good. So if you have a high-quality item, you can't market it that way. So they had their little Tupperware parties, and then the Tupperware lady, then she sold the product. In other words, she was able to explain on a personal basis the benefits of why you use Tupperware and all the things it would do, and this is why you pay this price for it. See, that's how you have to sell a high dollar, high quality item. You have to explain it. Now, look it. In Christianity, particularly in today's society, you have to sell it on a personal basis. You cannot market it on a big box store. See, that's why the accept Jesus into your heart thing works great. See, it's a big box. You know, it's easy. See, but to help people get a conviction, for example, that the Bible, particularly the New Testament, is a document of authority. In today's society, you're going to have to sell that, so to speak. You're going to have to convince people on a personal basis. Because the propaganda mess out there is awash on the idea that there is no truth. There are no absolutes. You know, nothing means anything except what you personally experience. See, so it's got to be sold. You know, we'll put that in quotes. You know, different than peddling. You know, just peddling. You know, you got to be sold in the sense that the individual has to be convinced that this is the truth, that this is the way it is. You know, we have to help people sort their way out of Catholicism. We have to help people sort their way out of the confusion connected with, oh yeah, you can just trust. Trust in Christ as your personal Savior. That's all you have to do. Just trust Him now. Put your hand to the flat screen. They've had to change it, you know, a little bit. Put your hand to the flat screen and trust Christ as your personal Savior, and you're wondrously and gloriously saved and can never be lost. Hallelujah. Okay? Confusion. Confusion on the Holy Spirit. Confusion on what the new creation really is. Confusion on the church. I mean, the marketeers, they don't even use the word church anymore, right? Christian, I mean, the Assembly of God was out in front on this. You know, Christian Life Center. See, that's Assembly of God Church. See, they got one in Bozeman for the young people. It's just called Connect. Connect. See, because things have worked to give the word church a a bad smell. See, so you got to really work on that. Confusion on the Lord's second coming. Massive stuff. So it's got to be done in the home. See, you cannot use the mass marketing approach. You can't just use the big box store, you know, walk through our door approach. Now, that's easier because it doesn't require out of an individual or out of a congregation the same intensity that it does to be able to push the gospel on a personal basis. See, but the fact is that individually, God is using the circumstances of the red sky in the morning. He's using those circumstances to push us into the idea of what Jesus intended all along, and it's called, you go, you make disciples, you immerse those disciples, and you continue to teach those disciples. And the time is short. You know, one of the things that I'm doing in Montana is I'm trying to get these congregations that I work with established as rapidly as I possibly can before gasoline rationing takes effect. How many remember gasoline rationing? Yeah. See, they put precedence in effect before, didn't they? Okay. Now, my gas bill's $1,100, $1,200 a month. I put 2,000 miles a week. So, do you think that the federal government's going to regard what I do as essential or non-essential? What do you think? Okay? My point is we got to process in these terms. There's certain things we got to do now while we have the time. Well, we have the flexibility. Well, we have the freedom to do it. Now! I don't like to have to say these things. You know? But I was trying to explain to the congregation in Bozeman. Once in a while, winter happens. Now, I can try to pretend, you know, that winter is not coming. This year, Montana will have a balmy winter, there won't be any snow, and there'll be no reason for me to have anything other than the bald tires that I've been running. See, I can, you know, God will take care of me, right? After all, God, you know, He looks out after His special people, right? I mean, I got an E in front of my title, evangelist. I mean, God is going to take care of me, right? You know, God saying, you know, you're dumb enough. So think of those terms, and you get what you deserve. Because you better have a good set of snow tires on. You know, and I always weigh, is it going to be the second week or the third week of October? You know, I mean, you know, trying to, you know, gauge that. Because, see, if I put my snow tires on too early, they don't last until May. No, they never last until May. You know, and sometimes some of the worst, you know, I think Mark Miller remembers, it was over Memorial Day weekend. We were trying to go to Butte. And some are, you know, it's snowing hard, and there's only one lane traffic over Homestake Pass, and some RV up ahead biffed it. Okay. So I tried. That was late May. Okay. So I really have to, I have to play with this. Okay, exactly when do I put these snow tires on? Because if I put them on too late, price is high. I can try to pretend it's not coming, but the fact is I know that winter's coming, and I need to take some steps. I need to make sure I got my ski cap in there. I need to make sure I got my heavy gloves, my extra heavy coat. Because you know what? Might need them. And it doesn't matter whether I got a little E in front of my title or not. Now, that's an illustration. You know, that's a common sense illustration. Now, look, the same thing applies. If we see certain things coming, if we see winter coming, then we better get prepared for it. Now, the days are evil. And there's a little E in front of that that's getting bigger. Eviler. You know, it's moving fast. I mean, we got a president that's not only got a phone, but he said he has a pen. And what he's doing with that pen is he's writing all kinds of executive orders. I mean, shutting industry, energy, every aspect of life is being shut down. You have to understand that the American public is the target. The American public is the last piece of resistance to the forces of the New World Order. Because there's a legacy of freedom in America. There's a Bible base in America that's like no other in the world. And so the American people, American Constitution, American legacy, the American morality, it's way better than anywhere else in the world. If that encourages you. But that's the last piece of resistance. So the American people are the target and have been the target for a long time. So the goal is to bring the house down. Bring it down. Shut energy off. Shut electricity off. Shut off food. How long do you think the farmer is going to keep farming when they can't afford the fertilizer? You know, I was driving across eastern Colorado. I was coming from the Black Hills region of South Dakota, through the Sand Hills in Nebraska, and there's an old gas station there. And until it hadn't been in use for a number of years because the price of gasoline was still $33.9 a gallon. The sign was sitting there. Why would they walk away and leave the sign up? Look, when a business closes down, there's no money. You know, it costs money to go take that. Just walk away, don't they? They have to. Okay? If a farmer hasn't got enough money, what's he got to do? Just got to walk away. Now, you get enough farmers in America that walk away, where do you think that food's coming from? And you want to check and see how much of your food is actually being grown here, maybe processed in China and shipped back. You might want to check that. And we can trust our friends the Chinese, according to former Secretary of State Colin Powell, right? Our friends the Chinese, who have swore to destroy the U.S. and all its running dog aggressors, okay? That's how they talk over there. Brethren, okay, I am just trying to say, look, now's the time. Now's the time. Okay, it's time to quit playing games. That's what I'm trying. It's time to quit the picnics. It's time to quit relaxing. Okay? Time to get through your door. While you can still get through your door, while you still have a door to get through. See, there's only one thing that counts. The only reason that I-75 exists is so that the gospel can run up and down. It's not so that the trucks from Michigan can run you over. That's not what I-75 is for. Okay, it's so that the gospel can run up and down. That's what that's for. And when it's time for the gospel to quit running, you know what? I-75 isn't going to exist any longer. We've got to have the perspective. What's God's perspective on the purpose of this world? Why is this thing even here? For my name's sake, he said. He said to Israel, he said, don't think it's because you that I'm about to act, O Israel. It's for the sake of my holy name, the name which you profane among all the nations. Of course, that nation that profaned that, they didn't even Ezekiel write in these words. He's looking to the prophetic Israel. He's looking to the time we call one from a nation, two from a city, out of the ranks of the Gentiles. That's the spiritual Israel. Days are coming, says the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, right? Who do you think that house of Israel is? The house of Judah is the Jewish core. It was the basis for the church. The house of Israel is the Gentiles. And he said, for the sake of my name, I'm about to, actually, I'm going to vindicate the holiness of my name, he said. The Apostle Paul, when he opened in Romans, well, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1. Just because I like these words. Paul, bondservant. Servant. Servant by choice. Christ Jesus. Called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul was the only guy set apart for the gospel of God, right? Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. So what's this all about here? You and me? All about you and me? Yeah, that is his Son, right? Who was born or descended to David according to the flesh. See, but who was declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Son of David according to the flesh. Son of God according to the Spirit. Right? Declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. I kind of left that out the first time so I could make sure the thought came through. According to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our what? Lord. Got it. Lord, yeah. Through whom, he says, we received grace and apostleship to do what? Well, we didn't get apostleship, but we got a commission, didn't we? To do what? Well, to bring about the obedience of faith. There's bookends on the book of Romans. One at the beginning, one at the end. They both talk about the obedience of faith. Among the Gentiles. For his name's sake. What do you know? Sake of his name. That's why he's doing this. Sake of his name. And when there's no more response, I-75 ceases to exist. And that's the only reason this world exists, is so that God can establish the truthfulness and the holiness and the righteousness of his great name. So what's our job? Go get the lost sheep. Leave the comfort zone, in other words. Leave the comfort zone. Leave the 99 safe sheep. Go after the one that's lost. That's what our mission is. Out. 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 That's our mission. Out! Yeah, that's how dads talk. Out! You kids get off the couch. Out! For his name's sake. Time's short. You know, if I didn't get out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, my dad came downstairs. He grabbed me by the ankle, he pulled me straight out, and dropped me on the concrete floor. Happened twice. I don't know why the second time it happened. I guess got no explanation for that. Okay. Why do you suppose he did that? Cows got to be milked, right? That's my job. Starting when I was 9 years old, milk the cows in the morning. Wasn't up at 6. Well, do you think Dad in heaven, do you think he has any of those type of characteristics? We had earthly fathers to discipline us, seemed best to them, but what? He yanks us by the ankle, drops us on the concrete floor for our holiness, our learning, our education, right? He disciplines us for our good. So, get off the couch. You know, shut that flat screen off. You know, shut down those video consoles. You know, that thing not only sapping time, but it's sapping mental energy. You know, studies repeatedly show that the brain waves of a person sleeping are more intense than the brain waves of somebody watching TV. So, okay. Now, what about joy? Joy in heaven. In other words, we pay in the behind the push. You know, the push behind, I guess I'll put it. Now, what you're running from, long-term, not a very good motivator. Now, it's usually necessary to jumpstart. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But, you know, as Mark Miller pointed out last night, the fear of hell is not a very good long-term motivator. See, after a while, you get accustomed to it. So, what's the pull here? What you're reaching for, see, is a much greater motivator than what you're running from. Now, you have to have both. The human brain is arranged so that unless you have a negative and a positive, there's absolutely no current flow. God needs current flow. But what? The joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. One. The only number counts to Jesus is one. One. So who are you going after? One. See, if you're going after 100, are you going after 1,000? You know, you don't do something on the internet because you unless it goes viral, you're just not doing it. Right? You know, I did a little deal one Wednesday night in Bozeman, just stuck it on. It was shortly after the 2008 election, I think. And the guy that ran against, was it Alan? Was it, who's the guy from Illinois, the black guy that ran against Alan Keyes? It was Alan Keyes. You know, he ran against Obama in the state for senator from Illinois before Obama was elected president. And Alan Keyes says, he's a communist. He's a communist. Trying to say, look, I know he's a communist. And so, you know, so I showed that. And Tom Sundan came up to me. He said, afterwards, he said, well, you know, why does, I mean, doesn't, I mean, don't, why don't people know that? And I said, well, let me show you something, Dan. And so I showed him I only showed a portion of my whole computer screen when I did. I just showed that particular video. Now, there was, you know, something like 800,000 hits on the Alan Keyes presentation. Now, just off the screen, it didn't show up on, was a picture of Obama and Michelle on the beach with Michelle in her bikini. That had 18 million hits. I said, look at Dan, 800,000 hits over here on Obama as a communist, 18 million hits on a beach scene. Okay, what's that tell you about the mentality of the American public? See, and what's that tell you about what it's going to take to go in and make some disciples? See, you can't, you know, you can't compete on the mass basis because the public is too desensitized to anything important. Okay, so you got to go individually. So when we go individually, we got to realize it's going to take a lot of work. You really have to keep in mind that the one soul is worth it. You don't need something to go viral. All you need is one. See, one. See, one's got to learn that one's going to make you really happy. See, one's going to be very exciting. You know, One is worth it. Now, Jesus said something that I think is of great significance. He said, what do you think is more valuable? All the gold that the Federal Reserve System is amassing in the banks of the basements of the New York banks or one soul? Well, what he said was, you know, what's more valuable? You know, what's a profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? But I just thought I'd use the gold in the basement of the banks in New York as an illustration. Well, what do you think their goal is? They want it all in the basement of the New York banks and the banks in London. That's what they want. And the Chinese like a little of the action too. So that's their goal. What's more valuable? One soul or all of that? One. See, the value of one. See, one joy. See, joy over one. See, joy over one. Joy over one. One. Get excited about one. See, until you learn that, you're not going to be very happy. One. 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 It's a great, I like number one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is what? One. One's a great number. You know, it's not zero. And not two. You have to be a genius to figure these things out. You know, you really do. You know. So, the one. Got excited about one. What's it going to take to get one? Well, you might find out it takes a lot of work to get one. You might find out it takes a lot of personal growth on your part to get one. See, let's see. I don't know whether to quote this in Danish. See, I was looking at the Gideon Bible. I was showing my grandson, Justin, because he's wanting to know, hey, how come they got a Bible in this motel room? He didn't know they did such things. Well, it's an old motel. But, you know, and the Bible was put there in 1978, you know, the Gideon. So it's King James Version. And so in the front, it has John 3:16 in 27 languages. Yeah, there's a good point. See, God so what? Well, He loved the world. He gave His only, see, that's one again, isn't it? A begotten Son. See, whoever, one, if one believes, they shouldn't perish but have everlasting, eternal life. God loved. It can't, and what I'm driving at is, can't be to get more people in your congregation. See, that can't be your motivation. See, when we're trying to reach that one, every fiber of our being has to communicate. I am here for you. I'm here to help you. I have zero personal agenda here. My whole purpose is to help you. See, and if you have any flicker, you know, some sort of shadow passes over your eye that says, oh yeah, and by the way, I'd like to get you into our assembly. See, as soon as that flicker crosses your eye, you just lost it. You lost the study. God so loved the world that He gave. See, He's in the process of perfecting our character. He's in the process of enabling us to walk in the footsteps of Christ. And so, personal evangelism really does that. See, it requires us, in order to be effective, it requires us to be imitators of Christ. Starting with the idea that the first of the fruit of the Spirit listed is love. You've got to really love that other person. Let's go back to Luke 15 there. Something, I think I skipped over something. I don't ever mean to skip over. Oh, yeah, verse 1. That's what it was. Luke 15:1. Now all the tax collectors and all the IRS agents and the sinners were coming near him. Really? Coming near him? I can't do that. You put a bubble around yourself. You can't let people in close like that. I mean, Jesus, guy. You know, he's got a few things to learn. So they're coming near him all to listen to him. Now, he must have had something that they could relate to. And see, both the Pharisees, oh yeah. Yeah, those Church of Christ guys, that's who that was. And, I mean, they're knowledgeable in the Scripture, right? Began to grumble, saying, this man receives all sinners and eats with them. I guess I should throw Jude in on this. I mean, the picture's got to be made here. We'll start in verse 20. Jude, verse 20. I remember one time I quoted the book of Jude in a presentation I made, and a fellow came up to me afterwards. He said, you know, you'd already finished quoting the first chapter of Jude and started on the second before I realized what you were doing. Okay. Said, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. You know what? You go in and get near, you're going to encounter every kind of situation. And these words of Jude are really important. Remember, there's a young guy in Mark Miller's congregation named Matt Mozingo. And remember Matt doing a communion meditation. You know, I first met Matt in Butte, Montana. And a lot of good things have come out of Butte over the years. And, you know, he was a student at a college in Indiana. He was part of a kind of a Christian church youth group. And so I was the only thing on the directory of the ministry connected with Christian churches in Butte. So Matt called me, and, you know, I was happy to go over. He was a pilot at that time. He was flying air cargo for something called Alpine Air in and out of Butte overnight. Co-pilot. And I remember when I first came to study with Matt, I brought both God's plan, proof that the Bible is the Word of God and God's plan of salvation. I got back the next week, he read through proof the Bible is the Word of God and got it. Next week I came back, he'd read all the way through God's plan of salvation and got it. Wow. And anyhow, he was, you know, it wasn't too long after that, he was immersed in the pool at the Comfort Inn in Butte, Montana. So, but Matt was describing how at the men's, you know, gathering that we have called the Peaks later in July, he was describing how he was roasting a hot dog over the fire. And the hot dog fell off the stick and fell into the fire. And another guy from Missoula, Jim Palmer, he reached down, he snagged that hot dog out of the fire, and he handed it back to Matt. And Matt said, just like I was snatched out of the fire. See, great picture, isn't it? You know, I mean, I'm glad Jim moved really fast, you know, but sometimes you're snatching people out of the fire, you get pretty singed on the way by. But you gotta love it. You gotta enjoy it. Hey man, you can't believe how few eyebrows I have left. I mean, that last deal goes through the fire. Woohoo! That's where this joy comes from. See, you gotta enjoy stuff like that. You gotta enjoy the late night phone calls. You know, I mean, some of the people you work with, tremendous mental challenges they have coming out of darkness into the light. And, you know, one person, can they take up that much time? Yes. Okay? Are they worth it? Yes. For how long? Years. I was just kind of mentioning Bozeman this last Lord's Day. Remember, I went to Paradise. Paradise, California. And I realized that could seem to be a contradiction. But outside of Paradise is Chico, California. Paradise kind of sits where the Sierra Nevada start to come up out of the ground, headed toward 14,000 feet. And but Chico sits down on the flat, you know. I mean, in California, it's either hill or flooded. You know, I mean, and it's either drought or, you know, water running. So they have built a massive system of drainage throughout the entire San Joaquin and Sacramento River valleys, you know, to some of that's below sea level. See, the federal government has their way, you know, they won't be able to do any of that stuff anymore. But they got these, you know, acres and acres and acres and thousands of acres of trees. And, you know, they grow all kinds of nuts, you know, pistachio nuts and almonds. Do peanuts grow on trees? Oh, okay, just checking. And so they got all kinds of these trees. Now, a lot of those trees, it takes 15 years before they get their first crop of nuts. And I thought that's about right. See, when we're working with nut trees, it takes about 15 years before you really get the production, see. So we got to know that. We got to know that. See, it takes time. Takes time, and you don't want to be love, joy, peace, all patience. Yeah, that's another one that shows up there, right? So, see, that's you gotta love it. You gotta love people. You gotta love their problems. You gotta get excited. Oh man, I'm so excited! These guys got a problem. Woo-hoo! Yes! Now, something else I've learned over the years is just act like you're giving advice. Let them draw conclusions. Now, some of you may not catch the significance of that, but the read somewhere, let's see. Don't throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and tear you to pieces, right? Now, human nature being human nature, if this brilliant advice that you gave doesn't work out, whose fault is it? See, so, I mean, who is it that's going to be making the decision anyway? I always remember I pulled in from the National Prayer Clinic onto the parking lot of the Liberty Christian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, in October of 1981. It was the middle of the night. We all got out of the van and we huddled around, had our prayer for the evening. And I was getting ready to do a revival starting that night. It was early Friday morning, and Friday night we were going to crank her off. So I finished up the prayer. One of the boys pulled me aside and he said, Jay, he said, got a lot of smokers and drinkers in this congregation. And so I'd sure appreciate it if you're preaching this weekend, you really work on those smokers and drinkers. And I nodded. When I nod and say yes, or, that means I hear what you're saying. That's all that means. Okay? Sorry I'm letting you guys in on my secrets here, but I'm trying to help you. You know? I'm trying to help you with some stuff you need, okay? See, so my mind says, so what doesn't he want me to preach on? I figured out real quick what it was. It was marriage. Sure didn't want me preaching on that. What a good husband is. He, you don't want me preaching on that one. But you have to help people draw their conclusions. Because if it's not a conclusion they draw, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to do nothing. So you have to help them. Now, is it easier to tell them or help them? What do you think? Snatching them from the fire, hating the garment polluted by the flesh. Sometimes I've been down in situations where everybody around me is drunk and on drugs or both. You know, I had a woman put her arm around me 3 times. I'd say, "Okay, Pastor, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us?" And what do you think I did? You better believe I prayed for him. It's like, bro, this guy needs some help. Well, who are you supposed to associate with? When we're involved in people's lives and where they're at, we're going to be down. We're going to be down in it. We're going to be down where they live. See, well, that's where we want to be, because that's where we're going to be effective. You going to get everybody in that room you just prayed for? If you get one, If you get one, you know what? Just excited. One. One. Always enjoy the farmers of eastern Montana. You know, one of their sayings is, you know what, you're a hard man. It's biblical, you know. Jesus talked about that in the parable of Matthew 25. That the hard man's the guy that reaps where he doesn't sow. They're hard men. They want to be hard men. They want to reap. It's kind of a joking way of, you know. But, you know, you go out to the farm there and in July, I'm going to show you around a little bit. What I noticed over the years, the farmer doesn't show you the wheat that didn't come up. He doesn't show you the wheat that didn't come up. He shows you the wheat that came up. Go out there and look over the field. You know? Yeah, sitting over there looking on the... So how many acres of wheat out there? About 2,200, that field. Shows you the wheat that came up. Doesn't focus on the wheat that didn't come up. Focus on the wheat that came up. Now look, if we're going to have joy over one, we've got to focus on the wheat that comes up. You focus on the wheat that didn't come up. You focus on the stuff that laid on the hard ground. You focus on the stuff that landed in the rocky soil. You focus on the stuff that's out in the weeds. You know what? You're not going to have any joy in doing this. So this is all about joy this weekend, isn't it? One. Okay. I really want to close this. I don't want to make it too difficult, but I need you to do something. I need you to count with me. I'm going to say zero, and then you guys say the next number, all right? Zero. One. Thanks.